And welcome to the Glacier Musical Podcast. It is beer, metal, and swearing. Of course, I am Nick Cameron of Glacier Musical. I had a thing. I did that thing. I'm doing this thing now. Thank you for joining us. Of course, I am always with my good friend, a man, a myth, a legend, hero to Danny, Keefe Chakas. How are we doing today, buddy?
With you, as always, is Garth. What about you, chimp?
No, that wasn't the line.
No, I know. It's, yeah, with me, as always.
I'm sorry.
As if Wayne and Garth, no.
Shaw. So did you ever
You left me there. I handled it, but you just walked out on your
did
show.
Did you ever find Bugs Bunny attractive when he put on a dress and played a girl bunny?
No. No. Me neither.
I was just asking. How you doing today, buddy?
I'm all right, man. It's been a time. It's just been a time. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Hopefully I look better. I have upgraded some lighting systems. I'm continuing to upgrade. I am going against, I'm going AMA, actually AKOA, against Keefe and Omar's advice. My ring light literally came from some rando in Tower Grove South. $10. I feel like I look sexy now, though, so it's good. The flag behind me now has another light, as suggested to me by lawyer wife. However, what I did not know was the lights take batteries. What I did not have were those batteries. So next week it will look somewhat better. Trying to improve day by day. Anyway, as you are here, thank you very much for joining us. We are, of course, on episode 3 of Slayer, which we will be doing Slayer Hell Awaits, their second album. Third episode, second album. If you're confused, go back and check episode 2. As we do, we have a greeting, beer check, vinyl check, news check, shirt check, meat. And the meat of the day, of course, as I said, Slayer, Hell Awaits. My beer of the week. And there's a bumper sticker that I see frequently that says, drink Missouri beer. And I don't know if Keefe had enough of the Missouri beer while he was here to know that our beer is literally the best. So what I am going straight on brand this week, and I am drinking Modern Brewery's Encore Triple IPA. You may notice the microphone because I have a microphone.
That's a cool looking can.
Pip Pop Triple IPA, 10% finger fudge pour into the Iron Maiden Trooper glass. Because keep it metal, boys. Keep it metal.
Keep it metal. I'm going to drink a seltzer, another Waterloo sparkling water grape. And because I'm a heathen and I don't have a beer and it's already fuzzed over, I'm going to pour it into my usual coffee cup, my Who Wants It More? Giants versus the Patriots Super Bowl. I believe this is when Giants beat the Pats the first time to break the 18-1.
That was my favorite Super Bowl ever that didn't involve the Rams winning it while they were in St. Louis.
Fair enough.
I don't know if cheers. Anybody's noticed. Oh, cheers. I have upgraded the signage in the set as I am very much on brand, being very much about my town, my city, St. Louis. I now have the neighborhood map. I'm going to point out quickly which neighborhood I live in. There it is.
There it is. I was going to say I have been thinking about St. Louis today, because I am working on a review of the brand new solo album from Laura Jane Grace of Against Me fame. And she is a newly minted resident of St. Louis the last couple of years.
Oh, well, I would be happy to show her all the great places if she would just send me an email. However, moving on, I'm going to do my vinyl check. I got a twofer this week. These were picked up at a newer antique mall, one near my good friend John's automotive shop on Manchester Avenue in St. Louis City. First one is Live, Johnny Cash, Strawberry Cake. This was recorded in England. It is a promo copy, as you can see right there. There is a belief, and I don't know if it's accurate in the vinyl community, that promo copies are the best sounding because they are first. They are pressed first. And part of the belief of why Japanese pressings are so good is because they have a lower pressing number. Even in the 70s, they were only pressing 500, 1,000 with each plate in Japan, as opposed to 50,000 in America. But it's got some good tracks on it, which I cannot read to you because it's covered up by the sticker. Great work there. But it does have Church in Wildwood, Lonesome Valley, Strawberry Cake, Rock Island Line, Fourth Man, a lot of good stuff.
And I am not familiar with that album.
I had never heard of it, and I have about, I don't think I showed you when you were here, and I apologize, but I have about 30 Johnny Cash records. I have been, when I see them, I pick them up, and then I have gotten to the point where I do check to see if they are compilation records. Because if you're not careful, you will end up with like 50 versions of Folsom Prison Blues and the aforementioned Rock Island Line. Both great tracks. And let me say, the first time I heard Folsom Prison Blues on vinyl, rather than all the CDs I had heard it on, it is completely different because the first 20 years of CDs, they didn't know how to master them to get the correct sound. That is big part of why old vinyl sounds better than CDs. But then old vinyl on vinyl sounds better than old vinyl on CDs. There we go. I'm clear. The second disc I have today, also picked up at the same antique mall, which I forget the name of, again, on Manchester by Kinetic Motors, the wonderful shop that helped me out multiple times when I needed some serious help. But this is Jimi Hendrix Essential Volume 2. This is not a bootleg. This is an official release. Side A is nothing to speak of. Let me know if you've heard of any of these songs, though. I mean, they're fairly obscure. Hey Joe, you know that one? Oh, you've heard that one. Oh, okay. Yeah. Fire. Have you heard Fire? Oh, wow. Foxy Lady. You haven't heard that one, right? Right, Dream Girl?
You're making jokes. Yes. I see.
The Wind Cries Mary?
Sarcasm doesn't always work on a podcast, just letting you know.
Okay, fair enough. Well, Side A is, you know, the bangers, the big stuff. It doesn't even, it's basically just the big stuff off of Are You Experienced and Crosstown Traffic. Side 2, however, is why I picked this up. Wild Thing from the 1967 Monterey Pop Festival. Machine Gun from, I believe, Band of Gypsies. And the Star Spangled Banner from Woodstock. It was also supposed to contain a 7-inch featuring Gloria, the Van Morrison song that Jim Morrison also covered. However, it was not inside, so I don't have it. But the two of these between them was, I think Jimmy was $20 and Johnny was like $10. So it was a good day at the antique mall. As friend of the show, Justin Poirot of Stormland knows, I love antique malls.
As do I, as you know. Good vibes.
I apologize. I didn't take you to any while you were here.
Well, we didn't. We were pressed for time, and lots of emotional stuff was going on for you at that time. Maybe if you didn't have the other stuff looming, maybe we would have had a little more QT time to run around town. But I was very satisfied and happy. You can't do a whole city in a few days when you have like two major events to do.
Well, and it's worth noting, just for the record, St. Louis is a lot bigger than most people that have never been here think. We didn't even hit any Italian food. You didn't get, St. Louis
has amazing
Italian food.
You kept telling me how St. Louis has great Italian food. Did try the St. Louis pizza, the cracker thin pizza crust. It was all right. It was worthy to try. I don't think if I lived there I would eat it all the time, but maybe I would. I will tell you what's funny is, and people in the comments or social media come at me, I see a lot of pizza review videos. I started to like unfollow a lot of foodie blogs and vloggers because like I don't need this right now. I'm trying to change my lifestyle, and all the food videos are getting to me because I can't enjoy them.
Completely with you. My dinner this evening was a grilled chicken salad with French dressing, not even my beloved blue cheese.
I mean, it's Valentine's Day. You could have a steak.
I don't know. I cannot. I'm in solidarity because my wife is addicted to sugar. Lawyer wife loves sugar. I was handed a real sugar soda, a Ski, which is a local knockoff of Mountain Dew, which is way better than Mountain Dew ever was. I said no. Went 2 miles on the track yesterday, so I mean we're trying.
It's not Squirt, but what's the southeastern version of Mountain Dew? Is like Lemon Drop or something?
I don't care.
Okay. San Francisco is apparently on fire behind me, out the window. But yeah, I know. Luckily, I wasn't a soda person. But yeah, pizza I do love. And I finally had discovered right before all these health issues came up for me some local pizza that was worth of buying and worthy of having. Maybe when I get in a little better shape, I can indulge. Anywho, with that out of the way, let me have my vinyl check. I have one for today. I did go, I do have stuff on the bed behind me in the video that I'm going to put into my Discogs. That's, you know, I'm trying to cut through my Discogs and catch up and organize and finally get all sorted. But I have a good one. I think I unboxed this on a Ghost Cult.
Excuse me. The biggest advice I can give to anybody is make sure you are cataloging every record you have on Discogs. Even if you only have four. Even if you started yesterday. Because it's going to get to a point where you have to do what I do and catalog 800 records. And it sucks ass.
That is where we started. Now we're on our way through that. But yes, that's where everything started. So I had done an unboxing video of this on one of the Ghost Cult Weekly Rituals. But I feel like our audiences are not completely overlapping despite my love for you and your love for me and our mutual shared stuff every week. But I still feel like I can maybe get away with this. This was checked kind of like an unboxing and mini review that I did at the Ghost Cult podcast, the Weekly Ritual, which you could sign up for and watch if you need your weekly dose of Ghost Cult music news. This is a record I love by an artist I love. And it was a first time on vinyl last year of an album from that celebrated a 10-year anniversary in 2023. And that is Hydra by OTEP. I'm a big OTEP fan. Hail Hydra. This is, first of all, a killer album. It's produced by Ulrich Wild with artwork in, out, and front and back by OTEP herself, who is quite an artist. And it had never been on vinyl. It was a CD on Victory Records. Kraft Recordings sent this to me. They do vinyl reissues of things. And so it's a double vinyl with the gatefold. Very impressive. It's a little NSFT right there, not safe for work a little bit. It has two separate sleeves with lyrics of the album. That's one. And then a second, both designed differently. Kind of reflects different sides of the artist and the album. And then normally, I don't think I would display these, but I think it's a plain vinyl and an etching, which we know we don't love the etchings, but... All right, fine.
So I can deal with it when it's Robert Plant.
Yeah, well. Anyway, here's side A with the cool label. Again, this was never on vinyl, so we don't have a reference point. I'm glad that OTEP got possession back of her catalog from Victory Records because, you know, they didn't treat... Yep, there it is. So then there's side C, and then the side D is the etching.
That looks a lot like Slayer.
Like Slayer. Yeah. It really does. Yeah, it really does. Great job, though. Great album. No covers, which is a rarity. And then last year, OTEP. So this came out, and then there was a brand new album that came out as well called, interestingly enough, The God Slayer, which was mostly covers and a couple of originals, and the covers were fire. Slipknot, Eminem, some really great rap. Killer stuff. I'm a big OTEP fan. That's my vinyl check.
Very cool.
And sure. Again, this was sent to me for free, so I didn't pay for it. But I think it was $30 to get the double vinyl.
The last promo record I received personally was Cloud Covered by Clouds Taste Satanic. Interestingly enough, shirt check, Clouds Taste Satanic. Also, interestingly enough, next week is our chaser, and I decided to bring in Clouds Taste Satanic. So it's all Clouds Taste Satanic right now for Nick.
Hopefully he can still make it. We did,
Oh, I screwed up. But, I mean, he made it last time I did that to him, so it's fine.
All right.
I trust.
No biggie. I'm wearing a shirt I have checked before. This is my long-sleeve Panopticon. Long-sleeve Panopticon's one of my favorite bands. Great band.
I bought this shirt a couple of weeks ago instead of buying their latest record, not the new one. I've already pre-ordered the new one because I didn't have a shirt and I had a bunch of their records, so it was time to get a shirt. I don't know if anybody's noticed, but I'm really trying to be better about having newer shirts and just kind of replace a bunch of shirts. Although Lawyer Wife and I are, she's bringing back our original, one of our old-timey dateversary traditions, which is going to where we had our first date. It was a corner bar, which was literally around on the corner of where I lived when I met her.
We drove by it. You should point it out to me. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going there this evening, and I actually got to change shirts into the shirt I was wearing that night. But I'm trying to continue having more shirts and better shirts. So that's why I got this, because this is a cool shirt. Also, I should mention, I bought tickets to see Stevie Nicks this week. Stevie Nicks announced a show in St. Louis, and we are going. The most I've ever spent on a show.
I was about to ask, dare I ask how much they were?
$452, including fees for both of us.
I have spent that much on one ticket before. Oh. But, yeah, it's a lot of money.
Lawyer Wife and I had a conversation about it. And also part of why I call Lawyer Wife is so I don't use her real name, just for the record. Because she does not consent to being on this. She does not even consent to this conversation. But we had a conversation about it before, because she had a pre-sale code, I had a pre-sale code. I mean, if you ever bought a ticket with Live Nation or Ticketmaster, you have a pre-sale code. I got in, but we talked about it the night before, and I said, you know, look, this is not like Metallica. When we bought Metallica tickets, I bought the cheapest tickets. I'd seen them a bunch of times. You know, when I saw them, it was my fourth and fifth time, which is the most I've ever seen an act their size. So don't consider that. Consider that you've never seen this woman and she's one of your favorites. So I think we should sit here in this section, or that section. And we did. We sat in that section and they were expensive. But you know what? She may not come again.
That is what I was about to say. I think this is the end of her as a touring artist, is probably this next few years. So if you want to see Stevie, see her now.
If that is the case, I would say she is probably done, because she has not done a record in 12 years.
Yeah, she said she's not interested in doing new music, actually.
A lot of musicians her age are just interested in going out and replaying the songs, and that's fine. But what's really funny is, so we're seeing her in May. And in April, we are seeing a Fleetwood Mac tribute band. So we're seeing a Stevie tribute and Stevie within 6 weeks of each other, which makes me giggle hysterically. I also added Bit Brigade to my concert calendar. And we also bought tickets to see Melissa Etheridge and Indigo Girls, which I saw Melissa at a very tiny, very tiny theater. She would have played the bigger theater down the road, but Neil Young was in town that night. So Neil Young is playing 5 blocks away from where we're sitting. Not even like 3 blocks away. We were so close. Neil Young could have run out between the encore and the main set, played a song with Melissa, and ran back, and nobody would have noticed. It was that close. I have no interest in the Indigo Girls, but... Well, I'm going, so whatever.
They're good. Indigo Girls are good. They're good live. The real issue
I have with it is I'm seeing them in an outdoor venue in August in St. Louis. So the possibility of it being 115 degrees that day is high.
It may not be a beer check that day. You shouldn't be doing hydrate with water that day.
I will have beer after the show at the hotel.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
I'm old. It's on a Tuesday, so it's like, no, if we're doing this, we have got to, I'm not going home.
Day off the next day and everything.
No, no day off. But it was like, look, I've got an 85-mile round-trip car. If I drive out to the venue from work and then drive home, I'm not going to have charge to go to work the next day.
Also, fair enough. I did see Melissa Etheridge at Woodstock 94, and she was fantastic. So
I saw her on the last album tour, the blues covers record she did. And I don't know if anybody listening to this podcast has heard it, but it is fucking awesome. It is amazing. I wish she would have played more songs from that record that night. She plays on that album. She recorded it with a Gibson Tuxedo Custom. It's not a Black Beauty because it only had two pickups. But anyway, news check for Nick. Got a couple of things. One, I did not realize the Mick Mars record comes out this month. When I realized that, well, I was waiting for Keefe to start the Zoom meeting, at which point I pre-ordered it, because what the hell. I also pre-ordered something else and I forgot what it was. So I pre-ordered Ace Frehley 10,000 Volts. Because, you know what, I can't bring myself to not pre-order it. I wish I could, but I did.
Regrets, you have a few, but then again, too few to mention.
Look, I'm going to
regret that one.
I'm sure I will. I'm going to quote the lead singer in my band from years and years ago in a song he never gave to us. I've made mistakes and I have regrets. I had sex for cigarettes. So that is probably going to be me with Ace Frehley 10,000 Volts in 3 weeks. I will report. But you know what? If you want, we can do a chaser on that record.
I thought we would anyway, because it's
Let's go ahead and do that. Let's do that.
Whenever that is, I think it's April?
No, it's this month.
No, God.
It's the 23rd, so we'll do...
Well, we'll see. I don't know, yeah. Maybe
the next chaser.
We're not going to... I don't want to have two chasers in a row. We need to do like...
No, it won't be two in a row.
I feel like this Slayer series, just to let me finish my point, I think the Slayer series is definitely like this early era... Good time for a break. The next three without breaking those up, and then I'm happy. I'll do a chaser.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We're not going to change. Look, I mean, anybody who wants to hear a review of Ace Frehley's 10,000 Volts will have already heard it by then. It's fine, but it'll be fun to do it. In more pre-order news, one of my favorite death metal bands, whom I believe I placed on our Mount Rushmore of death metal, Deicide, has put up pre-orders for Banished by Sin, their latest record. And I am excited. As soon as that hits Amazon, I'm clicking, clicking, clicking. Also, a friend of the show, Unleash the Archers. They're not a friend of the show. A friend of the show, Unleash the Archers. Could be. I'm also trying to get Michael Imperioli on the show. I've started a... Because I've got his record. I'll be checking it later. But I've started I actually put a thing up on Facebook saying, lawyer wife says that Michael Imperioli will not do our show. Let's prove her wrong. Did not get a response. Anywho, friend of the show, Unleash the Archers, has also announced pre-orders for their latest record, Fantoma. So we got a lot of cool pre-order information. Especially if you like really old rock stars that can't move and are basically corpses.
Well, not Unleash the Archers. Here's two interesting things about those two notes. Deicide has terrible album artwork for this new album. Literally looks like an AI's asshole spit this thing out.
I don't know. I kind of dug it. I mean, it's not as good as Legion. Legion, but I mean, in fairness, Legion is not only the greatest death metal cover of all time, but if you are a satanic heavy metal goalie in the NHL, you could, if you played for Ottawa, Carolina, or a couple of other cities, you could use that literally as your goalie mask. It is a goalie mask. Awesome.
I guess. I do want to say that they're on a major label. Spend the money on a major metal label. Spend the money for artwork. Like, if there's something wrong if you're not spending the money. Now, I will say that Unleash the Archers, who I have interviewed, Brittany Slays. She's not quite a friend to the show, but maybe
we I have interviewed them on Glacially Musical.
We could get them on, probably, I will tell you, if you really want to.
Would love to.
Their album is about AI, and they have an AI-looking album cover on purpose. But even they used an artist, they used AI to kind of like spec it out, and then they paid somebody to make art for them. I don't know how I feel about AI artwork right now on
this albums. Is actually the most hilarious news check we've ever done, because I accidentally made a great point.
That's fair enough. Are you done with the news, and shall I go?
I am done.
Okay. So it's the most wonderful time of the year, not just it's not the Christmas holidays, it's the Grammys followed by the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame announcement. So you know that I both love and hate these things equally. We did the Grammys last week, and we discussed...
I have a point to make when you're done, when we finish your conversation.
Okay. And we got the nominees for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and all the fellow metal websites were outraged that only Ozzy Osbourne was the only real metal artist nominated. And I was like, why would you expect it to be any different? We had a few last year nominated, and only a couple technically get in. Only really Rage Against the Machine that could be considered metal. Again, no Iron Maiden, no Soundgarden, no Alice in Chains. But okay, fine. We know these things already. So as you know, my criteria is just like the Sports Hall of Fame, Sports Bowl Halls of Fame. You are in as a lock, or you're not. If you have to get up and make a case why Todd Rundgren, but Todd Rundgren should be in, he should not have been in. He is not a Hall of Fame artist. So we're going to do the whole list right now. But I first want to ask your opinion. Will Ozzy get in? Just period. Will he get in?
So you're not asking will he get in next week? Will he get in before he dies or forever?
Will he get in this year? Will he get in this year on this ballot?
No.
Okay, now we're going to go through the list. I think Ozzy belongs in.
Correct.
And I think he should get in his lifetime. Correct. And I think he actually should have been in already as a solo artist. I know he's in with Black Sabbath.
That's why he won't. Because they're not going to double dip him. I'm sorry.
I mean, they did, by the way, Stevie Nicks is in the Hall of Fame twice.
No, I'm not saying that he won't get in.
Paul McCartney is twice. John Lennon is twice.
May I finish?
You may
finish. Can I finish?
Yes, he will get in twice. He will get the double dip. He will not get the double dip on the first ballot. That's all. That's all.
Was that Cartman or Gary from Weird Science?
That was Cartman. I don't know if Cartman ever said that. I stopped watching South Park 25 years ago.
All right.
I'm sorry. It jumped the shark for me. I am willing to give up on TV shows way faster than most people.
I was doing a retrospective on my favorite show of all time this week on YouTube, X-Files, and they jumped the shark in their episode, Jump the Shark. Anyway, here's the list. Automatic in or no. We're both going to weigh in. Ready?
Okay. You go first, I'll go second.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Mary J. Blige. I think she belongs in.
No.
Okay, fair. Mariah Carey.
Yes.
I agree. She should get in. I think I want to have you.
You should. I'll go first.
That's better. Yeah, I think I'm reading the name, then you.
Yeah. That's better.
Mariah Carey is the biggest selling female artist of all time. I know she's annoying and she's kind of cray, but
always said in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it's like a Sports Ball Hall of Fame. You make it in because of your stats, or you make it in because you changed the world.
Both for her. Both for her. I mean,
I would say stats, but
she's an incredible talent. I don't love her stuff, but she's unbelievably, even to this day, 35 years later from her debut, she's very talented. All right, correct. We're not going to do that for everybody. Cher Sarkisian.
Who the fuck is that?
Cher.
Oh, Cher. Yes. She's not in?
Not in.
I'm sorry. You know what? Okay. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is bullshit then.
I mean, it's been bullshit, but...
No, it's double bullshit.
We're going to do the whole list, and then I'm going to ask a contextual question after, okay, because they can't all get in. We're going to be like, who deserves to be in, and then we're going to say who's actually getting in. So, Cher, so that's Mariah, yes, Cher, yes, at least belongs. Mary J. Blige, I'd say she's on the bubble. She was influential. Dave Matthews Band.
I'm sorry, to go back to Mary J. Blige, I need a case for her. We're not doing that today. Dave Matthews Band, fuck that guy because I hate him.
Dave Matthews Band sucks harder than life, and I
probably
don't,
deserves
I,
it though.
Literally, no, I think it's the Hall of Very Mid, and a lot of people telling me up and down his whole career what a great genius band they have and what a musician he is. It's like, yo, he has a handful of pop, he has huge selling records, couple.
He has less variety than Slayer.
He doesn't have the career of the first three people we mentioned. He doesn't have
no.
Dave Matthews Band
right.
is not.
Okay, fair.
In or not? In
I
or
rescind.
Not? You said no.
I
say no.
I'm going X.
Yeah. No.
No. No. I'm no. going no. I rescind. All right.
Eric B. and Rakim, the rappers.
No.
See, I disagree. Eric B. and Rakim. Rakim by himself.
How many
is
records they sold?
Enough in the 80s. They have enough in the 80s. I'm not gonna
50
do
50 million.
No, but like that's not the point. It's hip hop in the 80s, and I'm talking about. Rakim is arguably the best rapper ever by himself.
Okay,
and Eric B. and Rakim has three essential top 50 rap albums. But okay.
Okay. I don't know them that well. So fair
okay.
in fairness. Moving on.
Foreigner.
Hard yes.
Hard no. Not
Whoa!
A no. No. No.
Always I'm not saying that because I've seen them for the fourth time with Lawyer Wife this year.
You love them, and you have some bias. I have always thought...
I like them.
You love them. No,
like
you don't.
Them.
Nobody sees a band they like four times. Four
I love
times.
I love my wife who loves them.
Foreigner is a very good band with some huge hits, and they have sold a lot of records, a lot more than Eric B. and Rakim and Mary J. Blige. I never thought they were that great. In fact, I think they're in the Hall
again,
of Very Good.
Look, Bo Jackson, not the greatest baseball player of all time. He deserves to be in because he hit 500 home runs. You got the stats, you got stats. That's, to me, Sex Pistols don't have the stats, but they have the change. You
I
know,
guess. I think that's also debatable. We'll talk about that another time.
Maybe not that, but you know what I mean.
Trying to move this segment along. Peter Frampton.
I gotta say no.
Absolutely no.
Hall of Very One Hit Wonder.
Hall of Very One Good Album, One Live Album. That's huge.
Which I don't even have that. I don't even have that one.
Exactly. Jane's Addiction.
Hard yes. Change the World.
Hard yes. And I think they get extra sympathy votes because Perry Farrell founded Lollapalooza, which is hugely important. And that's why. Cool in the Gang.
Hard no. Hall of Very One Hit Wonder.
Not true. They have many hits, and I think they were very important, but I think they're just not important.
I would
enough.
Also call Kiss a one-hit wonder in fairness, because if you ask your average rock fan, name a Cool in the Gang song, they're not going to say anything other than Celebrate. Just like with Kiss, they're not going to say anything other than Rock and Roll All Night. You're
Celebrate, Joanna... Jungle Boogie, 1, 2, 3. Anyway.
I don't think your average person knows that. I don't even know that.
Okay.
I consider myself, this is an expert musical podcast. Moving forward.
Lenny Kravitz.
I gotta say no.
I would say a hard yes, but I think he has a difficult relationship with critics who do the voting.
I love him. I don't love all of his... I love him. I don't love all of his music, and I don't feel like he has... He neither has the stats nor the influence to... Neither. It's enough for me, Doug.
Fair enough. Here's going to be a very controversial one. Oasis.
Fuck no.
So we're getting into
Wait,
the part...
Wait, no. I take it back. They got the stats. The stats. I just hate them.
Okay. I mean, yeah, I mean, I want them to get in just so the two brothers have to get on stage and fucking fight. But all coked up and like 50, 60 years old and fight with each other. Oasis.
I would love to see two 65-year-olds coked up fighting.
Yeah, they're not 65, but they're like, 55. Oasis absolutely is going. They're getting in.
I know. Maybe not this year, but they will get in. I realize stats or influence.
Right.
They have
so,
stats.
So here's another tough one. Sinead O'Connor.
Oh, God. I'm going to pull a Tommy Lee from Rockstar Supernova. and pull up the hood. Because I want to say yes, but I don't have it. Her biggest footprint, her biggest, pool in the water, her biggest is social activism, and that's not music. I loved
Well,
her.
she has one hit album that was a global number one,
It was not a phenomenon.
it kind of was. Yeah, it was.
I
Yeah, it
mean,
was.
phenomenon is 25 million or more
I mean, it was like,
in
yeah,
Nick's definition.
I don't think
But
that's
I
an
think you
arbitrary
need more
number.
than that to get in.
I think she's got the talent and the critical love and the cult of personality. I think there's a sympathy vote because she just died that might push her in.
I gotta say no.
But yeah,
I
I think
don't.
she's
I
on the ballot.
don't want to say no, but I have to.
We already said Ozzy.
Honest and unmerciful.
Honest and unmerciful. Here's another one, Sade.
Fuck no.
She's got a wonderful voice
I'm
and a
sorry.
couple and a
I'm just being mean. She probably
Be
deserves
mean.
it.
No, I don't think she deserves to even be nominated. I think this is a
Fair.
farce. This is a farce pick.
This is a
She's
fart.
a lovely person, I'm sure. She overcame terrible drug addiction.
All right,
She's on tour right now.
let's move
Don't
along.
speed me along when you're the pontificator here. Come on. I don't want to be kicked sped along.
Okay, totally fair. I
It's
apologize.
insulting. So Sade should be in the Hall of Very Good. Much like Sheryl Crow, who got in last year, should not be in.
She got in? What the
She
fuck?
did get in. She did not deserve it. And finally, A Tribe Called Quest.
I don't think I'm qualified to answer that question. I love A Tribe Called Quest. I don't know what their stats were,
You
and
can
I'm
take a
not.
mulligan. You can take a mulligan
Yeah,
if you
and
have to.
I'm not versed enough to be able to tell you
Yeah.
they changed the game enough. So
I'd say they
sorry.
did. Changed the game. Has some decent sales. Came in a little later than Eric B. and Rakim. The industry loves Q-Tip, and they also had a member die in the last couple of years. I don't think two rap groups are going to get in the same year, or three if you count Mary J. Blige as hip hop and R&B combined.
Probably accurate.
So now that we've done the whole list, we said three quarters of the list is pretty worthy, and there's some outright no's. Who's getting in this year from this list? Can Ozzy get in against Mary J. Blige? Can Ozzy get in against Mariah Carey, Dave Matthews Band, Jane's Addiction,
No.
Oasis,
No.
possibly Sinead O'Connor with a sympathy vote, and the
Still not.
rappers?
No, Ozzy Osbourne gets in as a solo artist when it's like Bernie Federico got into the NHL Hall of Fame. I love Bernie. I love Beef Fed. He was the first blues player to get his number retired that actually deserved it, which also he was the third. And still the most this the second most deserving Brett Hull existed.
Right.
But Ozzy gets in on a weak year, and this is not a weak year.
They're never a week. There's never really a weak year. I will say that this is the weakest year in a long time,
I'm gonna
because
say
they're yeah.
Ozzy, Mary, Mariah, Cher. I'm sorry, not Ozzy. Oasis, Mariah, Cher, Mary. That's probably who gets in.
Yeah, I'm gonna say Mariah Carey. I have a bad feeling Dave Matthews Band is gonna get in, much to my dismay. Jane's Addiction, 100% lock. Oasis, 100% lock. Maybe Lenny Kravitz, but I don't think so. Possibly Sinead O'Connor because she passed away.
The
And
bands,
eat.
there are too many artists this
Right.
year that are such huge sellers.
Yeah,
And
Foreigner has the album sales. That's the only thing that could help them. I don't think they're that great. And don't
they're
belong in the
not.
Hall of Fame. They're really not.
They're
But
AC/DC.
and then the 330 plus year old rap groups, hip hop, New Jack Swing from Mary J, very influential. A Tribe Called Quest would probably get my vote. What I think the voting will be is A Tribe Called Quest will get in, but I would vote in Eric B. and Rakim over them first.
Sorry about that. No, I'm sticking with mine. I'm sticking with mine. I think what we're going to see is we're going to see the extra populars get in. Do we have anything more? Oh, last
Nothing more.
question.
You
Last
had something to add, right? Yeah.
or no. I saw somebody on the internet today complaining about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominees for 2024 and suggested free belongs. Can you make a case for Free? I love Free. I have several of their records. I have Paul Kossoff solo records. I have Paul Rodgers records after Bad Company, even. I can make no case.
Free should not be in, and I really don't think Bad Company should be in. I think these are very mediocre to slightly above average at times bands. Again, people's...
Look, Free... I disagree. Free is very above average. However, they did not do the... Yeah. They tried to be Led Zeppelin. The same concept, English blues into rock. However, they didn't do it nearly as well. They didn't do it nearly as revolutionarily. So they have neither the sales nor... They have nothing that I can stand on to put them in. I will still enjoy their records, and I will still bang a gong. Wait, that's not Free. That's somebody else.
T-Rex, who is in the Hall. That is Mark Bolan, who is in the Hall of Fame under some category influences and such.
May I bang the gong then?
Let's go.
Alrighty, let's move on into Slayer. If you have made it with us to episode 3 of the Slayer record set. Sorry, Slayer series. You should have already carved Slayer into your arms, as I have mentioned multiple times. I carved it last week. It got infected. So may I suggest some antibiotics and perhaps some Neosporin. And do not carve it in next week, because we are all old. If you are listening to this and you remember this record, you are old. I apologize. So we are moving back to 1985. Keefe, what is your favorite record from 1985? There we go. I got
two,
nothing.
There's two. Tears for Fears, Songs from the Big Chair, 100% a banger. And what's the Anthrax record, the second one? That has the first one with Belladonna, Spreading the Disease.
I'm not from New York.
Yeah, Spreading the
Disease. Did you ever live in New York? Have you ever been there?
No, never. Neither Boston. All right.
Neither Boston nor New York. Man, if only Keefe could get to the East Coast once in a while. So 1985, I would actually call it kind of a barren era for music. This kind of music, as it were. Just because, you know, Slayer releases in 85, which is nice. Thank you. You know, there's no Megadeth record. There's no Metallica record. Metal is... What did I miss? What did I screw up? Oh, God. Keefe is Googling. Google.
I had... Sorry for the clickety-clack. So I had the list up earlier. First of all, there's many great metal albums in 85. Here's just a couple. Bonded by Blood. Killing is My Business. Spreading the Disease. Seven Churches by Possessed. Open the Gates by Manila Road, Blitzkrieg, Overkill, Feel the Fire, Live After Death, Iron Maiden.
That doesn't count.
No, doesn't.
Nope.
How about The Spectre Within, Fate's Warning?
I don't know.
The Last Command by Wasp. Theater of Pain by Motley Crue, which you love.
No, I do. No one loves that record.
Speak English or Die by SOD, a record you did not make today.
I meant to look up 1985 metal records and I didn't. So now I look like an asshole. Keefe's happy to make me look like an asshole. Could somebody just fucking peg me in the asshole real quick? Are we good?
You might like it. I don't know. Some people like it.
Not if I've eaten hot sauce the day before.
Sounds like a them problem, but not a you problem.
May we move on and ignore my mistake?
It's fine, pal. Sorry. All right. Just like immediately, Killing Him Is My Business came right to mind. Like, let's just say, and there's a Dio record that.
So,
also...
wait. So Killing Is My Business was 1985. We have actually gone back and forth on what year that record came out for like the past 6 months, and apparently, neither one of us cared to look it up. So it is 1985. All right. So 1985 was apparently an amazing year for music, unlike everything I just said previously. However, I don't know where to go with this. Slayer is awesome. I think we all agree on that. It is. Now, let's talk about this record a little bit. What do they call the sophomore record? It's the sophomore slump. Does Slayer fall into that? No, I think their sophomore slump was their first record. Thoughts?
I think
muted.
Unnecessary. Just once is enough, pal.
Sorry.
I think we keyed in on this last week. That's they were figuring out who they were, trying to slowly become more original, be more evil, be more satanic, be more gross, be more fast, be the fastest, bestest, tightest band. Still being, you know, figuring out what that means. I think the EP was a good entree into the future. I think they went on the road for a couple of years and plied their trade, and they had, like, you know, 10 songs finally, and played a whole set list and headlined by themselves and opened for other bigger bands. And just to let you know the chronology, since we officially now know, Slayer comes out in early March. Megadeth is June 12th, 85. Killing Is My Business, officially. And Spreading the Disease comes out in October. So just so you understand the year of just that, those little bands, not all these other metal bands I shouted out a minute ago.
And then Metallica, when does Master hit?
Next year.
I know it's 86, but it's early 86, right?
I don't think so.
Let's take a look, because it would be interesting if all four records were within 1 year of each other.
March 3rd, 86, so basically within a year, yeah.
So think about that for 1 second. We are talking about bands, except for Metallica, who created the genre, who were under the radar. In 1 year, we have all four bands of the big four dropping records. Now, what if, and I haven't checked this, what if Testament dropped a record then too?
I think it's later. They had a demo, and Zetro went on to Exodus, and then the first Testament record is not really until 87 or 88.
87,
they just,
you are correct.
They just announced, the reissues on vinyl for the first time in forever. So,
yeah, I saw that, and I almost ordered it. What about Exodus? Exodus, I believe, dropped.
Well, we said Binded by Blood is also.
Oh yeah, Binded by Blood. So we have Exodus. We have Slayer, we have Metallica, we have Megadeth. Jesus Christ, this is, and Anthrax. This
and,
is an
and
amazing.
And Creator also
and
had
Creator. I mean, we have just like the year of the thrash. Venom drops at this time. In this time frame, Slayer tours with Exodus, and that is where Gary Holt meets the band originally. Gary Holt becomes friends with the band in 1985. Think about that.
I think Slayer definitely toured California. Exodus probably opened a show here and there for... I think Slayer originally opened for Exodus in the Bay Area. And then the next time Slayer came to town with their debut album out, Exodus had to open for them. And they were like, what the hell? But they didn't really know each other. They just showed up and everybody went to the show and was like, wow, Slayer. And then those guys left town. And then in 85 with the two records, imagine going to the show and Hell Awaits and Bonded by Blood are both out at the same time. And you come home with, you saw these bands live and then you came home with these two vinyls. Oh my goodness.
That probably didn't happen because you were drunk as fuck and you broke them on the way out. However, if you were the one teetotaler, good on you. I mean, it's absolutely crazy just as a genre, as a young genre, how we're talking about a year, a 12-month period where these seminal, amazing records drop. And then they tour together. You know, we could talk about Big Four, Big Five, Big Six, Big Ten, and it's all of them save Testament, who's a little bit later. Absolutely. And Slayer tours with Venom. Slayer, Venom, and Exodus are touring together. Could you imagine that show in 1985?
Except for the infamous Tom pissed on Kronos story.
You know what? Tom says that was rude, so let's leave that alone. It's on Wikipedia. I mean, if you want to hear more. It's there.
It happened.
All right. Tom was. They were all drunk. Tom says, "I gotta piss." Kronos says, "Piss in my mouth." Tom did.
He tried to.
Maybe he got.
He might have succeeded.
Might have been a money shot. Might have been a hole in one. We don't know.
And then he was mad. And then he was mad. It's like you told him to. Like, what do you want?
I don't know. You know, if I say piss in my mouth and you piss in my mouth, I feel like I'm the problem, not you. Especially if we're all on 1852 beers. If we could, would you mind doing track by track now, or do you have anything else to say?
I don't have much else to add except to say that, like, you know, just for some context, really quick. So Show No Mercy was the biggest selling album on Metal Blade, the debut album by Slayer. 40,000 copies pressed and sold.
Think about that in the 80s. That's what, 7 records for Poison.
Yeah, but I mean, like, that's, I'm not trying to measure Poison against Slayer. That doesn't make sense.
I'm just trying to create context. Just context.
I get it. I'm just saying it's a lot of records for an independent record label with no global distribution. To set up their own global distribution to sell 40,000 Slayer records. So that's how this
Very
record was
true. Very
massive.
True.
The EPs were a nice little stopgap. They probably weren't, like, motivated to make another record. Slayer paid for that first record, as everybody knows.
So, yeah, Tom paid for it with his medical business.
He was an anesthesiologist. And a loan from Kerry's dad to complete it. And then for the second record, Brian, yes, extremely metal, Brian Slagle says that he had to entice the band to go record by paying for it. Like, the label paid for it. And I'm sure the band paid it back. Like, you know, a record label even today is just a fancy bank that you
That is exactly what a buddy of mine said that was in the band Tribes with Knives, and it messed up my world. He just looked at me, Nick, a label is a bank with ponytails.
A marriage is a bad deal you should not sign, but that's another story. Same thing with a record deal.
Not for me.
I understand. Well, you got lucky. So we'll talk about the track by track, and then we'll discuss some lasting impressions about the album, if that's cool.
All right. Let's just go ahead and blast through the tracks.
We're going to blast through it. Please don't hassle me.
Promises not made.
Fair enough. Opening with the epic title track, Hell Awaits.
I did not recall this track being so amazing. It has been a long time since I listened to this album. And shit, amazing, amazing track. Love it.
We said last week how much better just Haunting the Chapel and Chemical Warfare was than the whole first record. How much better is Hell Awaits than that? This 30. Is another level up.
Correct.
Everything about it. It's almost progressive metal. They apparently were listening to a lot of King Diamond. No surprise. It's 6 minutes long, plus you don't even notice it. It's so fast and shockingly cool.
Nailed it. This is a perfect track. It kicks off the record in a way that Show No Mercy finishes off the first record, wishes it could.
Absolutely fair. Kill Again is the second song.
Prototypical Slayer. The first Slayer record, is it Slayer? Is it the brand? Is it probably not? However, Kill Again is.
Totally true. You said a whole mouthful. I'm just going to add one thing. Not only is it a prototypical song for Slayer, it's got the exact perfect Tom scream that is used again in another time on this album. Also Angel of Death, also everything else. And pretty decent lyrics for Kerry. Pretty decent. Good song.
We'll say, Kerry. Sorry. Back up the truck. Put your tongue in your mouth, bitch. This is the perfect Tom Araya scream when he is not trying to scream in key, when he is not trying to be the Antichrist with a scream. It is powerful. It is angry. It is soulful. Perfection. Just give me that pain scream. Moving on to track three, At Dawn They Sleep. If you could name a more Slayer song than this, you are wrong and drunk and high, and give me a gummy.
All right, that's quite a mouthful. It's a pretty great song, another longie. Tom Araya's first lyrical songwriting credit ever on a song.
He's
Just
gonna have two or three more.
yeah, but like this is the
I'm
very first.
kidding.
This is the first one ever, and it's pretty significant. And it's a song they played till the very end of the band's career.
Great song. Absolutely great song. I mean, there is nothing more you could do with this one to make it Slayer. And, you know, we talk about a lot about the sophomore slump in these series when we start at the beginning. Slayer's sophomore slump was their first record. I think I probably already mentioned this today, but Jesus Christ, you don't solidify like they did. Very few bands have ever done that. Metallica did that. Megadeth did that. Slayer did that. And I don't have a strong enough opinion on Anthrax to, you know, give them that. But it's rare that bands can actually do that. And here we are. They have leveled up everywhere. Vocally, musically, it just so much better than last week. Let's
Let's
flip the
also,
record.
yeah, let's flip the record. But before we do go on, let's also talk about how much better of a recording this is. Now they finally got some help from the outside, even though the producer was not known as a metal guy, Ron Fair, who was brought in by Slagle. Slagle and Slayer also contribute, you know, listed as producers. And they did keep Bill Metoyer as a engineer, and he ends up coming back as a producer later. It sounds finally like a Slayer album, sonically. Like mix,
Completely agree.
you
The
hear all the guitars. Yeah.
double bass drums on this record are amazing. And I was going to save this for my sum up, but I think Slayer gets a lot of bad rap for not having enough guitar interplay, but and too much guitar doubling. But if you listen to this record, you can hear it on both sides. Carrie and Jeff are playing different parts. They're doing the Lynyrd Skynyrd big guitar theory, making a much better riff. And in fact, what cracks me up about that, Dave is too fast for them. If you pay close attention to this record, Dave is playing faster than everyone else, and they're just hitting on some of the beats in order to keep up. Dave is ready to go. He is a 15-year-old boy looking at his sister's best friend.
What a crazy analogy that is.
Is it crazy?
It is kind of crazy. He's significantly better than they are as a talent, in general, historically, and they don't have to like that. But yeah, he's fantastic. Moving on, as you said, flip the record to side two. Praise of Death, decent song, probably the soft underbelly of the record for me. How about you?
I would say completely forgettable. Move on to Necrophiliac.
Blood-sucking creatures of the night, necrophiliac. I had an ex-girlfriend that thought this was the greatest Slayer song, and that they never topped this album or that song. Crazy, but some
All right.
people
You
feel
know
like
what? That is an
great song.
opinion that is completely valid. Amazing track. Moving on to Crypts of Eternity. Wow, the underbelly got soft again.
This one doesn't land as well for me, especially going back to it now. Which is a little too sad. It is another Uriah Hanneman King on the lyrics and Hanneman King on the music. It's could have been. I think it would have been a better song if it was shorter. But it's not bad. It's just not as good as those first three bangers and Necrophiliac are three or four absolute bangers.
We're talking about a seven track record and a seven track Slayer record, which hits at about 38 minutes, is kind of ridiculous, really, if you think about it. Especially when we're talking about still, you know, punkish thrash, you know, prash still, prash thrayer, prash, you know, punk thrash Slayer, of course. We are still looking at a weird time for them. They are still growing, they're still evolving. They were always thrashy, they were always punky. And this is probably, and I'm gonna go out on a limb, I haven't looked at the numbers, but I would imagine this is the album with the least number of songs.
That is entirely possible. I haven't really done that kind of analysis yet, but you could be right.
And you know what? They've got some longer stuff, they've got a lot of, you know, changes in tempos. They've don't really change keys or change tunings, but at least tempos are changing. We are seeing a Slayer growing, but Slayer is thrash metal AC/DC, and I don't mean that negatively. Look, I love AC/DC. I love Slayer. However, you get to, you know, side two, and it's... And you know what? It's great. It's fun. It's awesome, especially live. However, it gets tiring.
I think you went into a summary one track too soon, but okay. Not wrong. All right. Because that is hardening an accurate... That is an accurate vocal description of hardening of the arteries.
All right. Hardening of the arteries. Carcass have this.
Well, it's a good song. It's actually better than the other two duds. It does kind of save the end of the album. I actually really love this song. It's pretty much a perfect Jeff song, actually. It's wild. Like, the riffing is wild. Like, we didn't even talk about how crazy some of these riffs are. Sometimes they go with simplicity, like At Dawn They Sleep is groovy and simple, but also really cool. And then other times it's just like, how did they do this in 1985? I don't even understand. There's no context. There's no other band playing music like this in 1985. Even the best threat, Megadeth, who thinks that they, you know, Dave is a world-class metal guitarist or any guitarist, but like, nobody is making music that sounds like this. I think Hardening is a very good comeback and a good way to end the record. It's like, so Praise of Death and Crypts of Eternity are not great songs, but the rest of the, so five of these seven songs are fantastic.
Completely agree. And you know, you chastised me for not getting into my sum up before getting in ahead. You chastised me for getting into my sum up ahead of time and chastised me for not getting in my head up. Anyway, you know what I mean? So, yes, I agree with everything you've said, but I was leaving this to the sum-up, largely. You know, we have a seven-track record. Five of the seven are just bangers that stay classics forever. So, their first record, they have three. Their second record, they have five. Five out of seven, I mean, Jesus Christ. Five out of seven, that's a number. You know, you have a band that is still growing, still maturing, still nurturing what they are, and they are finding it every day that they can be better and bigger and heavier than they were before. I know Slayer tries to be more and more evil as time goes on, and until the next studio record, it's a little campy. Now on Rain and Blood, they actually fucking scare us. We'll get to that in a couple of weeks.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, man, this will be part of my sum up. Like, here's an underrated part of this album. So it starts with the backward masking vocals, right? Like, it sounds like Slayer recorded backwards. It's something else. And then it ends also with the same thing.
Join Us.
Yeah, it's Join Us. But it scared the shit out of people when they heard it. Like, you heard about bands, Led Zeppelin, Stairway to Heaven, if you play it backwards, sounds Go to Hell and Die. But this is real. This really happened. This really is on a record that opened the second Slayer record that most people heard after they sold 40,000 copies of a pretty great debut that isn't all 10 of 10. It's pretty great for what it is. And this is a better record, and it opens with this just garish satanic thing. Like, just, you know, it's theater, it's campy, but also people were scared to death of it, and parents heard that and were like, nope, that's going back to the shop, or that's going in the trash.
I love you referring to it as theater and camp. Absolute perfection. And you know what, Tom Araya is a Catholic. These dudes are not Nazis. They're writing about Nazis. They're never saying Nazis are good. They're just saying, you know, lawyer wife and I once had a discussion, you know, we were talking about Deicide or Morbid Angel or some ridiculous fucking Tampa Bay death metal band that I listen to, Cannibal Corpse or whatever. And it's not Cannibal Corpse, because if I tell her what they sing about in Cannibal Corpse, I'm going to be throwing away my Cannibal Corpse records, because it's wrong. I like what I can't understand it. But she looks at me and she goes, how do you listen to music like that? How can you deal with that? That it's so wrong. They're glorifying this awfulness. Now, at this point in time, lawyer wife and I who is a former prosecuting attorney who prosecuted murders, domestic violence, sexual violence, kid cases. I mean, the most depraved shit in the world. And I mean, I won't discuss what we talked about or what I've seen, but trust me, you don't want to. And I looked at her and I said, "Lawyer wife, how do you watch Law and Order?" She looked at me and she went, "Ah, Law and Order doesn't glorify murder. They don't glorify this stuff." And I said, "What the fuck makes you think Slayer does?" And one of the 8 times in my life I got a, "Oh, yeah, I never thought about it that way."
It's going to be a discussion for another time. We had this lengthy discussion during Cannibal Corpse. I think what Slayer did is they're not wrong, but they definitely doubled down when they should have retreated. But that's my opinion.
Look, I'm not going to say Jeff Ginneman. I'm sorry, that is not that's
really he's dead, and let's have some respect.
Fair, that's what I said.
And when I die, you can't make fun of my name anymore either.
I hope I die first. Anyway,
I will haunt you. No, I'm definitely going to die before you. I have worse health problems.
Jeff Hanneman. Yes, they should have. Discretion is the better part of valor, and they had literally none of it because they thought, you know, what does Jimmy Fallon say in one of the last scenes of Untitled, aka Fever Dog, aka Almost Famous? He holds up 2 hands and he goes, which one of these do you want? And you want the exciting one. You want the one you don't know what it is.
Want the thing you don't know. By the way, you know why I know I'm going to die before you? Because I'm this many years old. I now have a medicine box.
My lawyer wife's got one. But yeah. I did 2 miles of the track yesterday. That's why you're going to die before me, because I did 2 miles of the track. Anywho, so I think they nailed it perfectly in that scene where so many bands from that point before and for 20 years later did not realize that you have to be adults and you have to admit this is art. This is, you know, this is fantasy. This is not reality. And Slayer would not say, this is just, it's just art. We're not praising, we're not condemning, we're just saying Joseph Mengele happened. And it creates a great palette for us to discuss the awfulness of the world, which is what Slayer does. We discuss the dark side. It's like James Hetfield said in the Behind the Music. You know, in what song is it? Energy derives from both the plus and negatives.
Battery.
Justice. No, it's not Battery.
No.
It's later. It's like side 3 or 4.
Okay.
Whatever it was. I mean, and you know, he said in the Behind the Music, and we were really good at the negative. And that's what metal is. Metal is exploring and illuminating the negative and illuminating the night. It doesn't mean glorifying. It means we're looking at it and we're disgusted by it. Had Jeff Hanneman said, "This sucks, this is terrible, we're just putting this up there to show you how terrible it was," nobody says anything. But he didn't say that. He chose to take the Zippo lighter in his hand and put it in his pocket and give you the hand with nothing. Again, reverting back to Almost Famous / Untitled references. We both love that movie way too much. So if you haven't seen it, please watch it and subscribe to our podcast.
One of these days we'll do a watchable episode or something where we watch it and commentary. That's an idea I had. But anyway, we run out of things to talk about. I think it's time to go. Whose turn is it to take us home? I don't remember.
My turn. Thank you, Keefe. Thank you, listeners. Thank you for my lovely daughter, whom I have not mentioned, who has demanded I mention her. But she has said, do not mention what she listens to. Just say that she is awesome. She has great music taste and she is cool. All of those things are true. So If you have made it this far into the Glacier Musical Podcast, if you are on YouTube, if you could please interact with us, just give us a like, give us a comment, give us a subscribe. It does such amazing, wonderful things for us that we can't even begin to imagine. If you are on Spotify or iTunes or listening to this on audio, if you could please just rate it, just give it a star rating. You're on your phone. Pick up your damn fucking phone and hit a star. I'm sorry. It's been a really boring day, but just if you could just give us that star review, if you could tell one friend about us, or just tweet about us, or Facebook about us, or Blue Sky, or whatever. You can catch Keefe on all the socials at Ghost Cult Mag. You can catch, if you Google Glacially Musical, you can find me on all the socials in one way or another. Thank you very much for listening. There are 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000 podcasts in the world. And the fact that my wife supports me doing this twice a week, and if the fact that you listen to this is fucking awesome. And I thank you for that. Keefe is my good friend. This is the greatest hour of the week, even though we have gone an hour and 20 minutes this week. So it's the greatest hour and 20 minutes for an hour or other numbers, either way. As we say each week, this is the Glacier Musical Podcast. It does not play in Peoria, and Slayer will burn the bitch down.